Get ready for two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Dave Palumbo. John Romano. RxMuscle.com presents Heavy Muscle Radio.
Watch out!
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
Welcome to another episode of Heavy Muscle Radio. My name's Dave Palumbo, and this week I am not joined by my co-host John Romano. I actually have a sit-in here. In the way of Sean, Big Sean Andros. Welcome.
Yeah, Dave called in the B team because nobody else showed up.
This was a very unusual weekend, I must admit. Number one, it's daylight savings. Okay, that kind of threw everyone off. You know, we're an hour ahead from the week before, and we lose an hour. I don't know why it's called daylight savings, because I really don't think that, you know, I'm saving much daylight here. You do save daylight in the fall, but in the spring you really don't. And so I don't really like the name of it. And matter of fact, it should be called really daylight losings, because I don't like losing that hour, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, it should be called feel like shit for a day.
Yeah, I'm a little jet lagged too. But the real reason is John reminds Romano is stuck in Florida. He went down there to pick up Max after the Arnold Classic.
Hey, buddy, I'm here to get you.
Yeah, and it was his mother's birthday. I think it might have been her 75th birthday. And he goes to the airport, and we had some problems. Now, we don't like to talk about the weather on the show. You know that we have a strict policy that we don't talk about weather, but from what I understand, at least from the woman next door who's been living here 50 years, this was like the worst storm we've had in her memory, and that's a long time.
Yeah, maybe we can't talk about the weather, but let's talk about how your house was about to blow over last night.
I mean, wasn't that amazing? The whole house was actually shaking. I thought we were having an earthquake.
I get the privilege of coming upstairs right now and getting out of the flooded first floor.
Yeah, it was a little hectic. And when I actually went to leave the house last night and realized it was 3 feet of water in my street, it wasn't very comforting either. Thank God you had your truck there, or I would have never gotten out.
Yeah, and Long Island people seem to have trouble with any foreign elements such as rain, snow. The driving was not up to snuff last night.
Yeah, well, the trees in the middle of the road probably weren't helping too much, and the power lines that were dangling in the middle of the street, I'm sure, were not making people very confident in their driving skills.
It's just a little water.
Yeah, but you know, I think that the people in Long Island liked them to. I'm surprised they didn't shut the schools, which are not going to be open till tomorrow. I'm surprised they didn't shut them yesterday already. You know, because they like to, you know, pre-shut the schools here. When I was a kid, we used to sit till the like 5 minutes before school started, praying that they would, you know, the news would put the announcement on that the Long Island schools were closed. Nowadays, they close them 2 days before, so.
That's why you fit in down here. If it wasn't for my truck, you'd still be homebound.
You're right. But, yes, I mean, I even took a picture of the street in front of my house and put it online because I didn't think people would really believe the extent of what it was. It looked like the canal looked like it was in my backyard, in my front yard, I should say. And the backyard was you know, it was even worse. I was going to actually walk into the middle of the street for perspective, but I didn't. Once it got over my thigh, I felt that it was a little too deep for me to go in.
You could just go stand downstairs on the carpet and get the same effect.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad, but so anyway, it was my father and I decided we were going to take out my cousin Marissa for to congratulate her for getting engaged. John would say we should be not celebrating that. We should actually be scolding her for that. But anyway, you know, she's 25 and she's still an idealist. So we decided we're going to take her out. Unfortunately, my father still has not adapted to the daylight savings or I should be like the daylight losings day. And he's off an hour. You know, he's still actually just getting used to last fall's daylight savings day. And now they did it again, and I warned him like 15 times already, and he didn't remember. And of course I got there and he wasn't ready because he thought it was an hour earlier. So that's just my dad, and you've met my father before, so you can relate to that probably.
He keeps absolutely no schedule, so how exactly does the time change?
No, him and Jeff the producer are very matter of fact, they're very similar in their time frames that they work on during the day. You know, they don't really know what time it is, and they really don't know what time it is when they go to bed or wake up. They kind of just go by feel.
So we are without Jeff the producer today also due to daylight savings time?
True, yes. That explains the missing Jeff the producer. I wanted to segue into that. I thought that was a nice transition that we took you there right there. So my father wasn't ready. And when we finally get him to the restaurant, and there's obviously, like, you know, you made a good point about Long Island people being afraid of the weather. Well, there was no one in the restaurant except for us and one other couple. And the couple was an old lady with her older mother she was there with. So it wasn't even like an old mother and then a young person like myself. The old lady was old, but then the daughter was still old. So they were sitting right next to us. And there were two tables, them and then us. And I don't know who is more deaf, my father or the old lady, because both of them were screaming so loud that... And then my father was complaining that he couldn't hear anything because the lady next to me is speaking so loud. And normally I would be embarrassed by that, but the woman couldn't hear anything my father was saying, even though he was screaming that he couldn't hear anything. So the whole meal was my father trying to scream louder than the old lady. Meanwhile, we were the only two people in the entire restaurant. So I had to sit through that, and thank God the penne alla vodka was good, you know. That kind of made up for it. I know you really couldn't really enjoy that or get a kick out of that because you're dieting. What do you have, like 2.5 weeks now, Teal's show?
Yeah, just under 3 weeks yesterday. So Skeletor will be appearing on stage.
Yeah, I heard you've been getting some interesting comments from people in the gym. You know, it's funny because people just have, you think that people who compete would have a good, I guess, mindset for the competitive bodybuilder, and they would know that the things that you can say that are appropriate and that are not appropriate to say to someone who's getting ready for a show. Now, you have 2.5 weeks to go. Obviously, your body fat is dipping into the single digits, you know, probably under 5%. And, you know, your face is looking drawn the way it should be. And I find it interesting some of the comments you've received from people.
Yeah. IFBB pros, nonetheless. You'd think they might be even more understanding. But, I've been referred to, your face looks like an old man. You look like an AIDS patient. That was probably the best compliment of all. I understand I'm not the biggest guy out there, but people could choose their words a little more carefully.
I'm sure that instilled a lot of confidence in
yourself. Yeah, you know, that really gets you ready to get up and go, hit the gym.
you look like an AIDS patient is not the comment that a bodybuilder wants to hear, that's for sure, right? I always say if people are saying shit like that, it usually means that they're jealous that you're in shape because you're all covered up. It's not like you walk around the gym with, you know, with a tank top and shorts on. So anyone saying that to you is probably giving you a compliment, even though they're underhandedly like wrapping it in a insult.
Yeah, well, that kind of goes hand in hand with the number of people at the Arnold that told me how great I looked when I had a sweatshirt and jeans on the whole weekend. So
what I find usually is the people that are fattest and the most out of shape that usually hit you with comments like that too. Do you notice that?
They're the people that never really get into shape.
Or never get into shape, yeah. Correct. Yeah. They don't, in other words, don't suffer so much. Go home, have a sandwich, have a little bread, you know, you fill up a little bit, you know, that kind of thing. Those people.
Yeah. And of course, the kicker tonight has been that I've had the privilege of Nicole Ball texting me, asking me what treats I would like
after
the show.
When she comes here?
So, yeah, thinking about that's been real helpful, too.
Yeah, she'll bake up a storm from if she does anything what she did last year at the Olympia. But you're not a big junk food eater, though, I noticed.
No, I've never really. I mean, right now it's just I take more of anything.
Yeah, you probably you put a steak and a potato in you, and you'll be happy. You know?
Yeah, I've never been a big sweets guy.
Yeah, well, anyway, this past weekend, 1 week past the Arnold Classic was the Australian Grand Prix, which is notoriously takes place 1 week after the Arnold. You know, this year, Tony Doherty, who we might have on the radio later, it depends if the phone lines actually start working. And, you know, before I get to the Australian Grand Prix, you know, Cablevision, or what they call Optimum here on Long Island, did a great thing. They said, you know what, we're going to simplify these people's lives. We're going to take cable, internet, and phone, and we're going to put it in one freaking package, and we're going to call it the Optimum Triple Play. Okay, we're going to charge them a little bit of money, and we're going to make it worth their while to get all their service through us. They stole my service from Verizon, the phone company, as far as the phone goes. They got my internet service, and then they also got me, obviously, so I can watch cable stations. I decided not to do satellite, and now every time the cable goes down, I can't make a freaking phone call from my house. Or record any phone calls for that matter.
The interesting thing I always found is that when I'm sitting there watching TV downstairs, I get the caller ID pops up on my TV and I know who's calling here.
That's true.
They've definitely gone a little overboard with the tie-in.
Yeah, that's true. But you know what? The truth is I really don't use the home line except to record these phone conversations that we do on the radio here. So we're kind of screwed. So I don't know if Tony Doherty would be calling in, but I did get some emails from him. And he told me this was one of the better Australian Grand Prix. Obviously, Kai Greene shows up, Dexter Jackson shows up, Melvin Anthony shows up, among a few other stars. And not surprisingly, Kai Greene comes out on top. Dexter Jackson finishes in second. And probably the dark sheep of the whole family here is Raleigh Winkler, who snags third and then his first Mr. Olympia qualification.
Yeah, you know, I saw some pictures of him before the Arnold, and I wasn't overly impressed. It was the first time I'd gotten a look at him. But when I saw him on stage, I mean, the guy really came together. He's big. You know, he's got a good handle on his conditioning. He's definitely got a ton of potential.
He's a freak. He's definitely a freak. John just did a nice profile on him. Who the hell is Raleigh Winkler? Which was a classic John Romano comment. But it's true, because a lot of people, he's got almost like a funny name too. And it's like, it sounds like he's a joke. And then you see the guy on stage and you start really looking at his physique. And I know I spoke about this with Steve Weinberger. When you first see him, you're not that impressed. And the guy starts hitting shots and the guy's ripped. And he's got a tremendous, tremendous upper body. His waist is small. You know, I think it'd be another year or two of maturity. And this guy's going to be a dangerous guy. This guy can win shows.
Yeah, when he starts posing, he's got some freaky body parts. You see those freaky striated tries and just his big upper body, and he becomes more and more impressive.
He's got like the Kai Greene separation in his front quads too. I mean, it's really impressive for a guy in his first pro outing to beat, you know, Melvin Anthony and Michael Kefalianos, who snagged an Olympia qualification here last year. That's pretty impressive. You know, I this guy is going to be a force to be reckoned with. Some people said he was better than Dexter Jackson. I don't believe that. I saw the pictures. Dexter actually looked like he tightened up a lot from the Arnold Classic. What did you think of his conditioning?
Yeah, he definitely improved. And you know, he's still one of the best bodybuilders in the world. He's got a lot of haters right now, which is probably where those comments come from. But, you know, Dexter at 80% still beats most people.
I thought, you know, seeing him at the Arnold, I thought it was a mistake for Dexter to come in bigger and not to have his classic striated glutes. Evidently, from the pictures at least, in Australia, Dexter's glutes were back. Kai actually looked a little tighter, too. I wanted to really ask Tony Doherty what he thought, because he was there live. Sometimes the pictures don't tell the whole story. But both of them seemed like they significantly were a little better. And it would have been interesting to see. You know, realistically, if Phil Heath would have showed up, what would have happened? And I'm not sure why he doesn't go to Australia, because I know Tony Doherty treats these guys like superstars, and these guys make a lot of money when they go down there.
They must be making a decent dime after, you know, you get up for the Arnold, you put in all that work to go to Australia a week later. It's got to be a pain in the ass.
Yeah, well, I know Tony puts up the top guys. I'm sure Kai and Dexter didn't pay a dime to be out there. And, you know, they sell pictures and they do gym appearances and then the prize money they win for the show. So I'll bet you Kai Greene goes home with 25 grand in his pocket, you know, without a doubt, without a doubt. And Dexter probably pretty close to that.
Yeah, you know, if they probably stay down there a couple days, they could make a ton more.
That's what they do. They go around from gym to gym, and Tony hooks these guys up, so you know they don't have to go. They don't start looking when they get there. They know they're going to be making the money already. And you know what? People are starting to call Dexter Jackson the Chris Cormier of bodybuilding, because you remember Chris kept placing second at the Arnold year after year after year behind Jay, and that's just not the case. Dexter's won the Arnold three times already, so he's no Chris Cormier. He can win the big show, and he's won the Olympia one. So he just ran into a couple guys that were a little better than him, and I don't think that Dexter was at his best. Had Dexter come in at his best, he might have won that show, you know?
Chris always had a lot more fun on Saturday night after he got second.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's for sure. Without a doubt. And you know what? The truth is, if Dexter had beaten Kai at the Arnold, I guarantee he would have beat him here in Australia. They kind of mimic what goes on the judging panel. It's like the old European Grand Prix that would take place after the Mr. Olympia contest. If Mr. Olympia went there, he always won.
You'd have to be a complete mess to not win.
Right, exactly. The person who's got to be hurt a little bit here is Melvin Anthony, because Melvin, you know, loses to Michael Kefalianos, you know, and Raleigh Winkler, you know, that's got to really lower his stock. I mean, fifth place, you know, after winning the Phoenix Pro Show three weeks ago, he's got to be kind of feeling pretty shitty about himself. Personally, I thought he looked better than he did at the Arnold, at least from the pictures, but not much better. I don't know what happened to the Melvin that won the Phoenix Show.
He was a disaster at the Arnold, so I wouldn't have expected much more a week later.
you know, he might have hit that Chinese buffet, and you know, the proverbial Chinese buffet after the Phoenix. He was celebrating a little too early, I think. Either that, or maybe Nicole Ball was cooking him some treats, you know, and he figured that I don't need to wait till after the show.
Peanut butter pie.
Yeah, peanut butter pie, exactly. Gregory Atoyan finishes in sixth in this show. He's still knocking on that door. He's right up there. This is a guy who by next year might be, you know, snagging the third place in a show like this. So I'm glad to see that he's chipping away. This guy doesn't give up, and that just shows that this guy's got a tenacity and he's not going to go away. And he really does show up in good shape at most of the shows that he comes to. He doesn't really ever show up a little off. This is just, you know, these are just guys that are better than him. And you really can't be upset when guys that are better than you, you know, defeat you on stage.
I think he might have even been a little better in Phoenix.
Yeah.
If he'd come in that condition, who knows?
It's hard when you're traveling, you know, what's the flight? Like 20 hours to like Australia, something like that?
Yeah, I don't know. Ungodly.
It's ridiculous. That's like a 2 or 3 Valium flight, you know, in your book. I know that. You got to just anesthetize yourself to sleep on there because, I mean, especially as a bodybuilder, you go right out of your mind, especially dieting, and you got to bring all that food with you.
I need horse tranquilizers.
it's not fun. You know, I got to ask you a question, a little off topic, because if Tony Doherty comes on, we'll get a little bit more information about when it went on, but just change subject a little bit. You know, I've been watching TV a lot. I don't know why, just the past couple of days. And I'm really sick of seeing this whole Kim Kardashian chick. What do you think of this guy? I know that's your look. You like the dark haired look. You know, she's making. I'm nauseous that her and her two sisters are making so much freaking money. They have absolutely no talent. Their only talent is that they know how to go pick clothes out and makeup. What's the appeal here? Do you watch that show?
Unfortunately, I do. I watch it every week. But, I mean, up until recently, I was dating her, you know, the poor version of Kim Kardashian.
The poor version. But aside from the fact that you're attracted to that look, I mean, is there any other compelling reason to watch that show?
It's just cheap entertainment. I don't know. You get into it.
Years ago, we used to watch Good Times and Happy Days. Now we're watching Kim Kardashian go shopping. I mean,
it's not Kim Kardashian that's the draw of the show. It's the other retards that surround them. That's
who, Bruce Jenner?
Bruce is a great character.
He's like the most whipped fucking guy. I mean, this is the Olympic decathlon winner, okay, in 1976 Olympics. I mean, he was on the Wheaties box, and this is like the guy everyone wanted to be, and now he's like a pussy whipped husband on this show, like being berated by all the daughters and the wife.
Yeah, but he's got a nice living. I'd take his life.
I mean, the star thing that he did on the show is when he went to get his like plastic surgery that he fucked up 20 years ago redone. I mean, that was like the highlight of the show, I think, watching that. He's the only interesting character on the entire show, and they never show him.
Maybe it's a generational thing. You just don't get it.
I don't know. Maybe I don't. I don't know. I just think the TV is completely like... regressed as far as I'm concerned.
You have to embrace that though, and you have to regress with it.
Yeah, is that what it is? It's like learning how to unlearn everything you learned in school, I guess, so that you can relate to the people that are left in the world now, the guys who don't like to go to school.
Which is exactly what I've tried to do in the past 8 years.
Yeah, it doesn't work too well. Once you've seen the light, so to speak, you can't go backwards. I have another little pet peeve. I have a trouble folding clothing for some reason. I have like this mental block against folding shirts and tying ties. And I've learned to tie a tie, but then I stopped wearing one. You know, I was wearing one for a little while when I had to work in a hospital when I was in med school. And then I stopped and I learned, I forgot. Actually, I used to keep the tie tied and I would just slip it on and off my neck.
I keep them on a hanger tie.
Yeah. Well, this whole t-shirt thing is driving me crazy because I can't fold a t-shirt properly. I kind of just roll it up in a ball and throw it into my, you know, drawer or my suitcase, depending on, you know, where I'm going. And they came out with this video, I don't know if you saw it online, how to fold a t-shirt in 2 seconds. Did you watch that?
I missed that one, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. You know, you could learn to do everything on YouTube now. I actually got stuck. I had to wear a tie, I think, for like a funeral, and there was no one around who could tie it, and I actually watched the video on that too, and I kind of figured it out there. So, but YouTube has everything. It's a pretty interesting video. You pinch like the two corners of this t-shirt, and you do like a little flip and flip. I haven't figured out how to do it personally, but I figured you're pretty methodical. I figured if you watch the video, you can learn it and then teach me how to do it.
I have a very particular way of folding my t-shirts. It's a very involved process. Relationships have actually ended over this.
Really?
And, you know, the t-shirt is a very important thing. It's the basis of my wardrobe along with the sweatpants.
Pretty much, yeah.
And it's got to be folded and stacked a certain way.
Really? So you have your own technique on how to fold a t-shirt?
Well, the thing was, I got to fold it just like mom used to.
Oh, okay.
But the trick was, is mom could like do it in the air. It was like flipping a pizza pie for her.
Yeah, this is like this might be the 2 second flip, you know, that I
gotta
watched.
I got to lay the whole t-shirt down. I got to spread it out and I got to do this involved, ridiculous process. Oh. Still can't do it like mom did.
No, but is it tire? I mean, is it time? Does it take a lot of time to do it? I'm into efficiency, you know?
Completely inefficient.
Oh, well, then I'll have to ask someone else. But maybe you could watch the video, at least teach me how they do it in the video, because you're good at... I noticed you were different, because I like people to explain things to me, whereas you like to kind of read the book and figure it out on your own.
Yeah, that's how I got through college. I never went to a single class.
Yeah. Oh, well. Well, you know, we each learn differently. So you'll figure out this t-shirt thing and teach me, and then maybe I can do a video on it and teach the rest of the, you know, RX muscle community, because I'm sure there's a lot of guys like myself out there who don't know how to fold t-shirts. You know, it's just not something that you really learn, you know. I don't know. It's not one of these skills that you really acquire.
Although it should be.
It should be. You're right. It's a very important skill, you know, especially when you're... T-shirt comprises, like you said, 50% of your wardrobe.
Well, for you, it's the tank top. So, I mean, what's the issue here?
Well, yeah,
the tank top can get in a ball. It's impossible to fold a tank
top. I'm wearing these like Affliction or Ed Hardy type T-shirts, you know, when we go out. So I got a couple of those that need folding. You know, when I travel, I usually hang them on a hook in my hang them on a hanger in my closet. But when I travel, I like to, you know, put them in my suitcase, and you don't want to really crumple up one of those shirts because they get wrinkly. So I'm thinking if I can learn how to fold, I could probably get more luggage in my suitcase too. I think I lose a lot of luggage space by not being able to fold these things properly.
You know, this raises a question I've been dying to ask for a week now. What was up with the plain black t-shirt at the Arnold? We couldn't come up with a species or an RX muscle shirt for
it? I don't know. I guess I got up from the party and I couldn't function. I was in a very blackened state. And I just put the black t-shirt on.
At first, I thought it was inside out.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. For some reason, I didn't have any t-shirts left. I ran out of my RX muscle, the soft fit ones that I like to wear.
The Smallies gave away 300 of them.
They gave away all my clothes, too. I think they ran out of t-shirts, so they said, we'll go to Dave's suitcase and let's see what we got in there. And so they gave away all my t-shirts also. Did you hear the story about the guy? This is pretty fucked up, actually. Oh, my God. Some guy was complaining that someone was on their cell phone. You know, like when you know, these people talk on the cell phone and they're really annoying.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to really do that in the movies. You know, it's kind of, they even up on the screen, they say, don't use your cell phone. Well, someone obviously complained about some guy using a cell phone, and the guy stuck a meat thermometer in the guy's neck. I don't know if you read about that.
Yeah. Now that I'm getting towards the end of this diet here, I'm getting a little more sensitive to things. And people talking on their cell phones on the treadmill is pretty irritating. So tonight, this lady's phone rings, and I was ready. I was on guard.
Yeah, you meet Hook in your gym bag with you?
she said, oh, I'm at the gym. I got to go. And I was like, oh, you just saved your night.
Who carries a meat thermometer around with them? Like, if you're going to, like, carry a weapon with you, you know, I mean, wouldn't you carry, like, a real knife or maybe a fork even, but a meat thermometer?
You know, it's we're people of peace here, and I don't think we're not neither of us are very weapon oriented.
I didn't know a meat thermometer could be a good weapon. I guess it's one of these things you could probably slip by security at the airport. Maybe
it's just it's a whole world out there we don't know about.
Well, I don't know. It sounds a little peculiar to me, but I guess the lesson is, don't talk on your cell phone in the movie theater, and if you see someone carrying a meat thermometer, be very wary that they might be a little fucking out of their minds. And might use it on you. So
yeah, that's probably a general maxim anywhere you are, cell phone or not.
Yeah. Well, I have another interesting story that I read, and I think you could relate to this, having gone to many years of college yourself. The title of the article was "Help, I have $122,000 in student loans. What do I do now?" That was me. You know, I probably had just about $122,000 when I got out of school. And this is like a lot of you know, people that are graduating now, this is not even a lot of money for them, especially if they went to graduate school. The average 30-year-old coming out of college and maybe 2 years of grad school is going to have anywhere from $100,000 to $150,000 in student loans. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous. And if you think about it, you know, it's almost impossible to pay it off. And, you know, people are, you know, with the job market being the way it is, people are really strapped. I mean, what is someone supposed to do? You can't declare bankruptcy and get rid of these loans. You know, I kind of feel bad for people coming out of college now.
Yeah, I mean, but it's also a choice you got to make going in. I mean, you know, for me, it was a matter of you're either going to get the scholarship or you're going to community college. So, no.
But she's paying. This girl is paying. If you figure it out, she's making $60,000 a year from her great education she had, and she's paying almost $1,000 a month. That's her minimum payment. Okay, her minimum payment. So of the $3,000 she makes a month, she's paying $1,000 of that to the government, and she's got 25 years to pay it off. So she's got 25 years of $1,000 a month before she pays off these student loans.
You know, with the job market right now, getting a $60,000 a year is pretty decent.
I don't know.
So. You know, I can't say she was probably expecting much more than that.
No, the government should give us, you should give you a tax write-off. If you're paying back your student loan, you shouldn't have to pay taxes on that money. I mean, that should be like a, but it should be a deduction,
it is.
Though. Is it, though?
Yeah.
The whole thing is not deductible. No way.
Yeah, the student loans are all deductible.
I don't know. Just the interest is actually deductible. I don't know if the whole loan is. We'll have to get Super Jew Ron Norman on the air to ask him about that, because
Dave,
I don't think.
Dave, let me tell you.
I don't think so. Actually, you know what I did? This is what I did, to be honest with you, because I had about $122,000. I'm not lying. When I got out of college, when I left medical school, I decided I was going to live with my dad because I really didn't have a choice because I had no money. Once I started earning some money and I was working for Metrics and I was doing guest postings, I didn't leave. I didn't move out. I you know, a lot of guys get their own apartment. I said, I'm not leaving till I pay my student loans off. So what I would do is, no matter how much money I made a month, let's say I made $5,000 a month, $4,500 of it went to the government. And I did this like for 3 years straight until I paid off all my loans. And you know, some months I sent in $5,000-$6,000, depending on how much I made. I just sent everything to the government. It was like I wanted to kill myself every single time I wrote a check, because it felt like I was never going to even make a nick into those student loans. But lo and behold, after, actually it took probably about 5 years, to be honest with you, and my father and I almost killed each other living together during that time period. But I paid all my loans off. And then when I finally started making some money and started keeping it, I was able to move out and not have to worry about that burden. So, I mean, it sucks when you own that much money.
You'd probably still be paying it off now if you didn't do that.
Yeah, because it's the interest. I looked at how much interest I was going to pay over like 15, 20 years, and I was like, this is insane. You know, I might as well get rid of these loans first, or I'm never going to be able to do anything. Plus, you know, once you pay those loans off, your credit's really good as well. So, did you have any? You had scholarships, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were lucky.
Full ride.
You were lucky, yeah. So that's not too bad. And you went to Columbia, right?
That's what the paper says.
Yeah, well. You know, that was an expensive piece of paper you received when,
sure was.
When it was all said and done. Now, another little pet peeve of mine is, and that's driving me absolutely nuts, and I always suspected this, but there's a study now they did, and this proves it, that New York City taxi drivers overcharge passengers. You ever get into a cab and you take a cab ride, and you know the cab ride shouldn't be more than $5 because you've done the cab ride a million times, and they charge you like $11. And, you know, you're not going to really complain about it, because if you get into a cab, you've already resigned to the fact that you're probably going to spend $10 for the ride. But something seems suspicious to you. Well, evidently, taxi drivers have overcharged passengers by $8.3 million over the last 2 years, according to the studies they've done. So what they're doing is, like, a lot of people get into a cab, they don't know, especially, you know, people that visit, and they charge them as if, like, they're not just giving them a ride in the city, as if they're crossing over the bridge, or they're leaving the suburb, or they're leaving the borough of Manhattan that they're in. And so they're doubling their rates, essentially. And people are not, most people don't know. Unless you're an avid cab rider, and you're not going to complain about it. And these guys get away with it, and they pocket the money.
Well, yeah, and I mean, think about how many people in cabs are tourists. You know, most people live in the city. They know their way around. They're taking subways, buses, whatever. And I know, you know, we go to a show, we jump in a cab downtown or something. We don't know where we're going.
No, you're right. And these cab fucking drivers, you guys, the point I'm making is, if you're in New York City, keep your eye. You ask these cab drivers before you get in what the rate is. Because you know what? Ironically, New York cabs fares are actually cheaper than most cabs around the country. You go to a cab in Vegas, you're going to pay $15 to go down the strip.
Go to a cab in Columbus, Ohio, you're going to get ass raped.
Yeah, it's true. So the cabs in New York are very reasonable. If you get a fare that's kind of high, you might want to question it because they're not really that expensive. So some of these guys are really slick and they take advantage of especially like tourists. So, beware of the New York City cab driver. And on that note, we're going to go to our first commercial break, Sean. And when we come back, Tony Daugherty.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, author L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today. When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product. Around you, will you be ready to fight back? Brutal Alchemy Performance Nutrition's unique line of supplements will help you win the war in the gym. Ancient Strength is a unique blend of 3 creatine esters which will infuse you with the ancient strength needed for the battle at hand. Isolation is a pure whey protein isolate that provides 26 grams of protein in every 29 gram scoop. Attack NO2 is Brutal Alchemy's nitric oxide booster that will increase your pumps and performance. After your battle in the gym, it's time for Onslaught, Brutal Alchemy's comprehensive post-workout drink, providing everything you need to suffuse your muscles, joints, and body with the components to heal, grow stronger, and return to the fray. And when it's time to conquer in the bedroom, you'll need Forged Steel, Brutal Alchemy's male enhancement product. Lead the charge to BrutalAlchemy.com to obtain the essential elements of your brutal transformation. Brutal Alchemy, it's better to be a member of the Horde than to be destroyed by it. RxMuscle.com introduces the cheapest and fastest growing discount supplement store on the net. DiscountSupplements.com. DiscountSupplements.com not only has the best prices on all of the industry's most popular products, but they also offer next day delivery for just $7.99. You heard right. For a flat fee of just $7.99, most orders arrive the next day at a price that simply cannot be beat. As a matter of fact, their prices and service are so good, we made them the official store for RxMuscle.com. If you haven't visited DiscountSupplements.com, what are you waiting for? Visit DiscountSupplements.com today. Build serious muscle now. Get huge and stay lean. Achieve total muscle domination. Pump up and shred down with 4 great GAT products. Workout Jet Fuse NOX. For its
insane strength and psychotic workouts, use Jet Fuse before attacking the weights.
Post-workout Jet Mass.
After training, use Jet Mass's muscle volumizing German creatine with HGH boosters and branched chain aminos to repair and recover.
Protein Muscle Team.
Muscle Team has 45 grams of extended release protein to rebuild muscle tissue during and after training.
Shred and burn under Jet Fuel Pyro.
Use Jet Fuel Pyro, the number one feel-good fat burner to help you feel great as you burn fat faster and easier. Find these GAT products at retailers worldwide or go to our website at teamgat.com. That's TEAMGAT.com.
Plasmatic is the next generation of nitric oxide amplifiers. Plasmatic contains the clinically proven glycocarn and other exclusive cofactors to give you a better pump, extreme vascularity, and aid in both performance and recovery. Plasmatic is the only next generation nitric oxide amplifier that contains no L-arginine. Plasmatic's proprietary blend is manufactured using a state-of-the-art liquid capsule technology and lipomatic delivery. See Plasmatic today at your local vitamin shop or call us now at 866-GET-EST-1 or visit us on the web at estnutrition.com. Plasmatic, results guaranteed.
Flashpoint, the world's first sublingual fat burner. Flashpoint will change the way you look at fat burners forever. That's because traditional pills, capsules, and even liquid caps are broken down in your stomach, taking over 23 minutes to start working. But now, Isatori Technologies has engineered a fat burner that completely bypasses the stomach. Flashpoint melt tabs are absorbed right through the sublingual and buccal glands in your mouth. With Flashpoint, you'll start feeling its effects within 33 seconds. 33 seconds. Now that's fast and as hardcore as it gets. Visit isatoritech.com or GNC to start feeling fat burning in 33 seconds with Flashpoint.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes. Susie Curry. Adela Garcia. Jenny Lynn. Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X. Jen Gates as Shade. Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus. Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress. And their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind limited edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up to the minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hey, this is the Game, Triple H from the WWE. You're listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Palumbo.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by Progenix. Visit ProgenixSRG.com.
I'd like to welcome back the promoter of the Australian Grand Prix event. It took place this past Saturday down under in Australia. The guy I'm talking about is our good friend Tony Daugherty. Welcome, man.
Thanks, Dave. Nice to be on.
Yeah. No, you know. Like I said, our phone lines were down here. We had a big storm here yesterday, and so we almost didn't make it. John's stuck in Florida. You stuck with me doing the interview. I think everything just worked out perfectly at the last minute. What time is it actually in Australia now?
What is it here? It's 3 o'clock on Monday afternoon. So I think we're 14 or 17 hours ahead.
Yeah. I'm midnight.
We're 14 hours ahead of LA and 17 hours ahead of New York.
Yeah, we're midnight here. But all right, let's go. Let's cut right to the chase. I understand this is your 10th anniversary holding the Australian Grand Prix.
It is. It's our 10th consecutive pro show, our pro show, of course, has become the third longest running current pro show on the circuit, only after the Arnold and the Olympia. After the Ironman got cancelled, we moved up a notch. So it's hard to believe, but after 10 somewhat short years and somewhat long years, we're the third longest running pro show on the circuit.
Did you think when you first started this whole thing that you would actually be going 10 years later?
Oh, you know, the first time we did the pro show, David nearly killed me. I didn't think I'd ever front up for number two. But once I got number two out of the road, I thought, yeah, you know, we better do this every year. So I guess so.
I understand the fans go crazy down there. They really, really enjoy having the top pros out there.
They do, you know. We've been really fortunate to get great lineups, and the fans out here, you know, this is their taste of professional bodybuilding. Their only other choice would be to buy a ticket, a plane ticket, a, you know, a hotel, and a ticket to the Arnold or the Olympia, which is a long way to go for a lot of people and a lot to afford. And I guess that's why I started to promote it in the first place, was to give the Aussie guys something to compete in, because they get over there and get overlooked. Whereas here, at least they get to do their routines and get to perform in front of their home crowd, and also the Aussie fans to see what pro bodybuilding really is.
Well, for a 20-hour flight, you get some pretty good pros down there. What's the prize money up to this year?
It's the same as it's been for the 10 years, which is $20,000 US.
Wow.
This year we introduced a $2,500 best posing award as well, and hopefully next year we can put the prize money up a little, which we always said we'd do after 10 years. But you know, look, we take care of a lot of the costs that other promoters don't have, which I guess you could put into prize money if you didn't do it. But we fly all the top guys out, pay for all the airfares and everything else for the top five guys, and then on top of that, I pay the accommodation for every single athlete in the show for they're out here.
That's huge.
We do all their food for them, airport pickups, the whole lot.
You pay for all the hotels for all these guys?
Yeah, even the guys that no one's heard of. Because check it out, they're the guys that probably need it the most. You know,
they do
together everything they can. They sell their car, they borrow off their family and friends to get the airfare together. And the top guys could probably afford a hotel, whereas those guys that we've never heard of, you know, who knows which one of them's going to break through and be the next big thing. And I think they need like a little kindness, a little support early in their career to help them to get on track. So we take care of everything. Once they sign on, if they sign on in time, we take care of everything. You know, we have hot food here waiting for when they compete. I've said it on your show before, but when I've traveled with my wife Amanda when she was competing as a fitness pro, the great Sonny Schmidt, a lot of other Australian pros that I've brought overseas, the thing that was lacking, and I guess the thing that was the motivator for me to do the show, was that you'd arrive at a strange airport in a strange country, no one would pick you up, you wouldn't know where you were staying, and then once you get there, there might be one microwave for the whole floor or between three rooms,
right.
No fresh food available. If you're in a strange country, how the hell are you going to be in shape and eating? The one thing that's stressful is the athlete when you land somewhere strange is food. That's all it is. So we've got a kitchen, a commercial kitchen here in the gym, so my brother's a cook, and we knocked up, check this out, this year, I think we broke our own record, we cooked up for the pros in 48 hours, and we took some to the show as well, but in the 48 hours of the Thursday and Friday they were here, they ate 65 kilograms of meat, which is just under 150 pounds of meat.
Hold on, be I'm honest, serious. How many of those pounds did Kai Greene eat, though? Probably half of it, right?
He can eat. Man, he can eat. The first night he landed, he got in like on a really late flight. Long story, but he got in really late, and we cooked up like, I think it was 6 pounds of turkey or something,
right.
Specifically because I knew he liked turkey before he competes.
Uh-huh.
He got in at midnight, and he was back at the gym in the morning. It was all gone. That's from midnight till 6.
Which you thought he was going to be sleeping, right? And he wanted to eat all the turkey.
You know, and of course, when stuff's free, everybody can eat. You don't worry about that. And maybe that's why these guys, they're in better shape, your show, than some of the big shows. And I think that's part of the reason that we understand the athlete side of it. So when they land, everything that they need is there. We have distilled water. We have baked potatoes, sweet potatoes, brown and white rice, chicken breasts, turkey, steak. You know, everything they could think of. You know, Rolly Winkler, for example, he wanted fish, so we went out and we had 10 pound of fish or something
already
cooked
nice
up for him. And we do everything we can, because if you take that, a lot of this, what do these guys do stand up so much for? And they do press and they do photos in the gym and a lot of stuff that the other contests don't have. And one, the camaraderie that it builds between the pros themselves is awesome. But two, if you look after people, then they'll do a lot to help you, you know, it's the least you can do. And the other thing is that they get into great shape when everything's in place for them. So I find if you look after people and they're well fed and well rested, you don't have a problem with attitude, egos, or anything else.
Right.
Just get on with the show.
I might come out there next year just to get the fucking buffet you got set up in your gym, and I want to train at the famous Doherty's 24/7. You know, now
you'd love it. It's like a museum.
You opened the new one, didn't you? You said.
Yeah, well, we've opened two in the last 18 months. We did one out in the suburbs, which is huge. It's 1,200 square meters out in a suburb called Dandenong. We did just over a year ago, and that was built by this guy who supported bodybuilding for years. In fact, he's got all my posters up in the gym from the late 80s, early 90s,
really?
Right through. So it was like a bit of a shrine. We went in, we repainted, refitted it, put new equipment in, new cardio.
Nice, nice.
But some of this equipment this guy created, you've never seen anything like it, you know.
Really?
We've got three calf raises out there with 1,000-pound weight stacks. We've got, you know, 10 seated rows and 10 lat pull-downs with 500-pound weight stacks and so on. But beyond that, we opened one right downtown in the city about 6 months ago, right in the heart of Melbourne, and it's underneath the railway line that goes through, so it's really grungy, and you can hear the trains going over the top of you.
Hardcore.
And that's 1,200 square metres as well. And on November 6th, all of our gyms went 24/7. So we've now got three 24-hour gyms.
Wow. So you're taking over all of Australia pretty soon. You're gonna be like the new Gold's Gym out there, I think, you know.
Just one step at a time.
Now, let me ask you this question, because all the results, obviously, we had, thanks to Lee Carmichael, we had up on RX Muscle very rapidly. But the one thing I didn't know you had a guest best poser award. Who won that?
Melvin Anthony won that. You know,
okay.
It was something that a few of the, one of our companies out here, Contest Color, that a guy called Phil Cavacos been supporting the show since day one. And he's got a great tanning product out here, which in fact a lot of the American pros use, because Sonny used to take it out to them all, and, you know, Milos.
What's it called?
And Kevin Leveron, a lot of these guys used it back in the day, called Contest Color. It's absolutely brilliant.
Really?
He's got a final tan pro they put on backstage. So he sponsored the best posing award, along with a few of the mates off one of the websites out here, one of the bodybuilding sites.
Right.
They all chipped in some money. We came up with $2,500 and this beautiful trophy carved out of crystal. And Melvin Anthony won it. Once he found out that it was the best posing award, he went nuts. He was in here till midnight downloading music and dancing around the office, and he really put a big effort into it and deserved it.
A lot of people thought that Melvin should have won it at the Arnold, and that it was a mistake to give it to Kai Green. People weren't too thrilled with his routine, so I'm glad that you guys rewarded Melvin down there, you know, and he got a nice trophy and some money for it.
I think that was good, and I mean, look, Kai's an awesome poser as well. I guess you've got two different things. That Melvin's really entertaining. The crowd gets into it and everything else, and he poses as well as dances. He does everything. But Kai, on the other hand, he's got muscle control that I've never seen
with
anyone in my life. He does stuff just, it's mind-boggling. So you can see how he could win it as well, because if it's posing, it's about controlling your muscles. Well, he's got this X factor. And then we had Rusty Jeffers in the show, and a lot of people
they
were the three. You know, and I said to the crowd, who do you like? Is it Melvin Anthony? Yay! Is it Kai Green? Yay! Is it Rusty Jeffers? And yay! A lot of people were into that because he does that old-school posing, you know.
Who picked?
I think we got the right winner on the day. Without question, Melvin Anthony deserved it.
Who chose? The judges chose or the audience chose?
Judges chose.
Okay. Now, just to get back, because I think what you do for the athletes is unbelievable. You pay for everyone's hotel room, you mentioned. So that means a guy like Fadi Zaza and Daniel Hill all had their hotels paid for, correct?
Yes, correct.
Unbelievable. Now, I want to make this point, because I think a lot of people don't realize you're the only guy who does this. No one does this.
That's right. But I need a point of difference. Check it out. I've got to get these guys across from the other side of the world. So I can't just take it for granted they're going to come out here because there's a pro show on and someone's going to qualify for the Olympia. So from day one, from the first year that we did this show, I just put myself in the mind of an athlete, having traveled, as I said, with Sonny, with my wife, with some of my guys from here, and I thought, what would it, if an athlete was running a show, what would they take care of?
Right.
Hotel and food and airport pickups. It's not rocket science. That's all these guys need. So, look, we raise the bar every year. This year, we looked after them better than anyone. And I think, well, I know, that's why we keep getting the best lineup outside of the Arnold and Energy. Check it out. For the last 5 years, our lineup has been the third best lineup in the world, bar none.
You're right.
It's not about prize, not always about prize money.
Now, probably the three most popular people on the roster, even though they all didn't place in the top three, was Kai, Dexter, and Melvin. What was it like having those guys? And are they like rock stars when you bring them to gyms and stuff like that? And who is the most popular of all three?
Well, you know, we have this VIP ticket where the VIP customers get an individual T-shirt that we create for the show. They get the DVD of the show. They get to come on stage at the end of the show and have a photo with the winner. And the next day they get to have a seminar, which is just for the VIPs, you can't buy a ticket to. And, you know, those guys all came along to the seminar. And they do this, you know, I don't put it in their contract. So would you guys like to come along to the seminar? And Dexter, Kai, and Melvin all came along to the seminar, along with Rolly and Rusty and...
Right.
Greg Atoy and a few others. But for those three superstars to come along, man, it was just a comedy act, you know. Seth Melvin, he could do stand-up, seriously. He was doing...
He's funny, yeah. He's very funny.
Dexter, well, I won't go on all day, but Dexter told this story about how he met Kai. Then Kai told a longer-winded story about how he met Dexter. That was his version of it. Then Melvin got the microphone and told how he first met Kai. It was a beautiful story, but he did impersonations of everyone, from Steve Blackman to Joe Weider to check it out, to Dexter Jackson right in front of him, to Kai Greene right in front of him, to the waiter in the hotel that they met at, to Dennis Wolfe. So he's got this Jacksonville, Florida accent versus a German accent, yeah, versus Kai Greene from New York, and he had everyone in fifth.
He's a great talent.
He really is. And he's done that every year that he's been out here. This is his fourth or fifth time out here. He's had us in stitches. And I've got to tell you this before you wind me up, but check it out. For two people particularly, for Kai Greene to come out and do my show, you know, knowing he was hot favourite for the Arnold, he won it last year, he stuck to his word and came out and did it, and I thought, well, this year he doesn't need to do this.
Right.
He said, man, it was one of the best experiences I've ever had as an athlete. I want to be there. I give him my word I'm going to make it. He had some passport issues to take care of. He was in the passport office the week before the Arnold, you know, missing work, doing everything.
Typical Kai, yeah.
The guy's a saint, man. He's just, you feel like you've been touched by something great when you spend time with Kai Greene. I don't care what anyone says. I've met every single pro on the planet for the last 20 years, and he is not only a special athlete but just a great person and a great individual to be around. He thanks everyone. His manners, his articulate manner, the way he answers questions, and people say he waffles on or whatever. I find it incredibly interesting because he's not talking about chicken and rice. He's talking about, you know, the art and the sport and the discipline of bodybuilding on a whole nother level.
In your mind,
I've got to say how much I just appreciate someone like him coming and doing our humble little show. And the other one's Dexter Jackson. You know, he's won Mr. Olympia, he's won the Arnold 3 times, and he took over now as the greatest supporter of the Australian Pro Grand Prix. You know, that was the 6th out of 10 shows I've done. Yeah. He's been in 6 of them.
Yeah.
Now, he doesn't have to do that. He doesn't need the money.
No.
You know, when he comes out here to make the show better and to see the fans, and because he likes the trip because of the way we treat him. But
right.
I just got to give a big shout out to those guys and just say how much I respect them. And, you know, people are always ragging on Dexter's arrogant, Dexter's this on the internet. He's the most professional bodybuilder on the planet.
He's quiet.
You know, when I send him
he's very quiet.
I can answer within 5 minutes. He's quiet, but he's totally professional. Right. He's all business. Yeah. And, you know, he's a little quiet sometimes, but that's his nature.
That's not arrogance, though. I think people confuse that. Yeah.
If anything, it's quite the opposite, but it could be perceived as that. So when he did a seminar yesterday, he opened up to the fans. It was quite an intimate sort of seminar. He was great. And if ever you get to listen to this, Dexter, we just respect so much that you come out here. For the first time ever, I said to the crowd when we announced the show, we've got a Mr. Olympia here, and between the two, we've got 5 Arnold Classic winners with him and Kai.
Right.
Now, for a little show on the other side of the world, that is just so magic. You know, our fans are so spoiled by that, and they love it. So when you say they're rock stars, not only do I respect the fact that they're coming out and do it, but every single fan just loves them for it. So, I mean, how good is that for those guys at the top of the sport to show the way and to bring the younger guys and the up-and-coming bodybuilders out?
It's great.
You know, and when Dex is here, he's teaching Melvin the ropes. And then there's this new guy, AD Cherry, came out.
Yes.
And he was following Melvin around. Melvin's like, I do everything Dexter does. You do everything you follow me, do everything I do. You know, just stand right there. If I move that way, you're there.
Yeah.
You know, and they've had that. And I think that whole spirit of this show was started by Chris Cormier the first year, that he talked everyone into coming out to do my show.
Right.
And kept telling them how good they got treated and bringing them back. And another big shout out to Chris, who really, really helped to set this whole thing up. In fact, we were talking at the seminar yesterday back in the 90s, you know, how cutthroat it was and how it went flex and Paul DeLette and NASA and all that crew around. Nobody told each other their secrets. Nobody helped each other. They'd sabotage each other if they could. The guys that we've had out here at this Australian Pro Show, Dave, they're just like a big team. They help each other. They share whatever they've got or whatever they need, you know, whether it's food or protein powder or tan or whatever it is. They're all here for each other, and may the best man win. So it's just awesome.
Especially since you're providing all the tanning and all the food.
Well, that helps.
Is Kai Greene, in your mind, because I know you think very, very highly of Ronnie Coleman. You have him out there every year. He's very popular. Is Kai Greene like the next Ronnie Coleman in your mind in terms of physique and just personality?
Yeah, I do. Personality is just as unique as Ronnie, but beaten to a completely different drum. But he's just as real as Ronnie, if not more so. And, you know, Ronnie's a superstar. But what look, we can't compare his physique with Ronnie just yet because Ronnie's, you know, an eight-time Mr. Olympic. But what we can compare, I started to say this to this day on the show last year, that nobody else in the history of bodybuilding has packed muscle onto a frame in the same way that Ronnie did, except for Kai. You look how much he's gone forward in the last 2-3 years, and they both had that same grounding, that team universe, natural sort of upbringing with bodybuilding, and then when they hit the pros and they hit it big, they really packed on some muscle. And Kai's the only person in bodybuilding today with that hanging muscle like Ronnie Coleman had.
Especially that
now,
back.
If he keeps going the way that he's going, he could very much be anything, you know. He's incredible, and his mindset is possibly stronger than anything I've ever seen in anyone, including Ronnie. So he's here to stay, man, and he really is something else. So.
Did he beat Dexter Jackson pretty handily in your mind? Was it close, or you know, be honest? I mean, I know you're friends with both of them, but did he beat him good?
Well, that makes it hard, you know, because Dexter had improved dramatically since Arnold, but so did Kai. You know, they both improved, I guess, equally. Yeah, we're looking at some pictures of Kai last night, and he was as good as I've ever seen him. And Dex was almost back to his best. I think it was close, but I think they got the right winner in the end. I think if you're going to say what did it come down to, I would say one thing is the freak factor.
Muscle, yeah.
But when Kai hits that front thigh pose and those most musculars, and even his side ab shot with his serratus and stuff showing through, he just had that absolute freak factor. You know, some of his back shots were just out of this world. So, you know, it was a tough day for Dexter, but I think he recognised just how good Kai is as well. And he said to Kai during the seminar yesterday, if he brings that kind of condition to the Olympia, you know, he just better walk away with the whole thing.
So you think that Kai can beat Jay if he looks like he did at the Australia?
You know, that's a hard one. Jay at last year's Olympia was as good as Jay's ever looked.
Yeah.
Now, whether he can repeat that again, and he's been a bit, let's face it, in his career, he's been a little bit hit and miss. Whereas Kai tends to dial it in. I think Kai's really got to know his body with whatever him and Oscar are doing. They're a very, very well-drilled team, and I can't see them making mistakes.
I think, personally, I
really need to see, you know, the shape Jay was in last year, the shape Kai was in, I'd need to see them together.
Personally, though, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. At the Arnold, I really thought that Kai was not at his best. John Romano and I both thought that Phil actually was better than him. But the Kai Greene I saw on stage in Australia looked like the Kai Greene that won the Arnold last year. So that package is tough to beat, man. Very tough.
Very tough, you know. And I think that a lot of people say the same thing about the Arnold. You know, I was watching intently online to see who was going to win. And we've just booked Phil Heath for a whole tour of Australia immediately after the Olympia. So any Australians listening, he's booked. He's definitely coming.
Great.
Everyone wanted to see him. And we almost got him here for this pro show. But he's a really good guy. He had a commitment to guest pros in Mexico that he made some months ago. And he wasn't going to let him down. Otherwise, he would have been here this weekend as well. And
that would have been crazy. Yeah, that would have been nuts.
It would have been great. But Phil's definitely coming out then. Look, Phil looked incredible, but I just think size-wise, Kai was just so much bigger. This is just judging from photographs because I wasn't there. And then when it came to the night show and Kai got ahead, he definitely improved dramatically through the day.
Yeah.
And I don't think Phil really did improve from day to night.
He didn't have to, though.
Look, Phil's here to stay. He's incredible.
Yeah. I was impressed with Phil. And like I said, I'm a big Kai Greene supporter. But if Kai comes in shape, no one beats him in my mind. Let's talk about third place finisher Raleigh Winkler, who surprised the hell of us at the Arnold. I mean, this is a guy who did the Arnold Amateur last year. He turned pro in Europe and then in the Caribbean, and then he actually took the invite to the Arnold Classic, because I think that now they give an invite to the pro show if you turn pro and you win the amateur show. This guy came out, he's got to be the dark horse in that whole Arnold lineup. For him to snag an Olympia qualification his first time out here, how impressed were you with this guy, Raleigh Winkler?
Well, you know what? I was following his progress on the internet leading into the Arnold, just watching this guy. Shit, I'd like to get him for Australia. I think this guy might be the next big thing. So we worked tirelessly. I sent email after email. I just don't quit, Dave. And, you know, they said, oh, no, he can't come. He's got a sponsor obligation at some trade show in Europe the week after the Arnold's already booked. I'm like, but this is his career. Who cares about a thing? If he doesn't get a qualification at the Arnold, it's going to be really hard first time in. This is his big chance to do what he's destiny requires, and he's got to do shows like this to do it. So I kept on these trainer, Sybil, this the grandma trainer, who's just a, she came out with him. She's just lovely and really helps him, controls him, and you know, obviously is guiding him in the right direction. Her and I kept attacking, and I finally rang his sponsor up and said, "Look, I appreciate and respect what you're doing for your company." I said, "But this is this guy's career. Why are you holding him back?" And they were great. They're like, "No, we're not holding him back at all. He can go if he wants." I said, "Well, I'll take care of his expenses. I really want to get him here." So it's the first time I've ever brought an unknown out here at my expense with his flights and stuff. But we took care of everything. We backed him, and you know, I was watching the Arnold and I saw his picture. Wow, this guy's something else. And I tell you, it was close between 3rd, 4th and 5th here, but when he hit his most muscular shot, forget it.
His upper body is amazing. His upper body is amazing.
Wow. You know, and if he improves, if he improves like he did from the Arnold Amateur to the Arnold Classic in 12 months, if he does that again, he might be the next big thing in bodybuilding. I mean, this guy is unbelievable. He's got the best side tries I might have ever seen.
Yeah, he's very impressive. And I'm sure you were very pleased with the fact that you made the investment in bringing him out there, because I'm sure the fans appreciate it.
Yeah, I was kind of chuffed about it. I was like, hey, that worked out all right. But, you know, and the other thing is, and we spoke with Sonny Schmidt earlier, he walked in, it was like, oh, this is a little weird.
He does look like Sonny Schmidt. You're right.
He looks like him. He looks like him, but he's got a similar nature. He's shy and quiet and very similar mannerisms. He's polite. He's got beautiful manners.
Yeah.
And so grateful and humble. And I'm like, you know, Sonny and I were very, very
close. Yeah, I know you guys are tight.
The first thing I did when he arrived here, because it's like one of my rooms here at the gym, we've got like six rooms now. It's like a shrine to Sonny. And I took him and I said, you know, this guy's, look at his photo. And Sybil said, this is what everyone in Europe says. It's like the reincarnation of Sonny. And
he is.
So we
You're right.
Him up a little bit about the great man, and he didn't let us down. But look, he definitely deserved third place,
yeah.
And you know, he's just got to work on his compulsory poses,
yes,
a little bit.
Yes, I agree with
I
you.
I think he hurts himself in his rear double bicep, his lat spread, and his back lat spread, and his ab pose. He's got all the muscle in the
it's
world,
awkward.
But he doesn't do himself any favors the way he displays it. We're already talking to him about that. But the other shots, forget it, man. The guy's
he's a monster.
He's a superstar in the making, and I wish him every success.
Yeah, let's talk about fourth and fifth place. Michael Calfalianos snagged fourth, just beating Melvin Anthony. In your mind, was that the right decision?
You know, he was, judging by the call-outs, I knew he was up there, and in a couple of shots, same thing. His condition was as good as anyone on the stage. His skin was like paper, particularly on his back. He had that look that you just don't get. You know, yeah. His abs are deep and etched, but his body is probably a little bit slapped together. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
He doesn't have that beautiful V shape of Melvin Anthony, or the roundness in his muscles, this and that, but condition-wise, and knowing how to display what you've got, he's got it in spades. So it was probably close, but at the same time, I wasn't surprised that he got fourth. I think he was probably fourth all day long.
Did Melvin look better than he did at the Arnold? Because he was great at the Phoenix show.
Absolutely, yeah. He was back to the same weight he was at Phoenix.
Yeah.
And I thought he looked a little bit stringy at Phoenix, a little bit over-tarbed at the Arnold. And here he had that nice balance that was in between. Yeah. He was really peeled, but at the same time he had that old Melvin fullness back. No, he looked great. It was just a tough lineup. And,
yeah,
and same thing with Michael. You know, he thought, gee, I got fourth last year. I thought I could have stepped up. I said, you got better. He was 5 kilograms heavy, which is 11 pounds.
That's impressive.
And just as shredded as last year.
Yeah.
I said, you got better, but the show got better.
Yes, it did. You're right. What about...
You know, you can only compare to who's up there with you, and the show just got better.
Yeah, I agree with you. It was a better lineup. Now, what do you think about a sixth place finisher, Grigory Itoyen, who actually happens to, you know, has really impressed me this year. He stepped up his game. He's been doing a lot of shows. He's showing up. Are you impressed that this guy just doesn't go away? He's very tenacious.
Look, I was impressed with him in the fact that I'd never heard of him up until the Phoenix Pro, and then he said he wanted to come out here and try and qualify and da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was a very impressive bodybuilder. What I don't know is whether he's going to get better, because I haven't seen him or watched his...
Yeah.
Being honest, I haven't watched his progress enough to be able to make a qualified assessment and say, oh, he's going bloke, because I don't really know what he looked like a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd like to see is where Greg's at in 12 months' time.
And
I could probably answer that.
Well, he keeps getting better and better.
He takes it, because he needs to take another step now.
Yeah.
To compete with top guys, he'll place in some smaller shows looking like he does, but if he improves that physique, he's got great shape, symmetry, roundness and fullness to his muscles, but I don't know how far he can take it. That's just being honest.
Well, Tony, Kai performs once again. He wows the crowd. You got a great lineup there again this year. The prize money was up. You got the, best poser award this year. Raleigh Winkler has to be the surprise of the show. You got three great Olympia qualifiers out there. I'm proud of you, man. You're doing a great justice to the sport. You're really supporting the athletes, and I wish more promoters would take a note out of your playbook, because that's really the way it should be done. I think even though it's in the United States, there's no reason why the bodybuilders shouldn't be put up in hotels and their food provided for them. I mean, that's just a great service you do.
Well, thanks, Dave. Hopefully somebody can learn something from it. But the guys talk, you know. It's that's my greatest weapon, I guess, as a promoter, is that I don't really need to talk about it so much. Right. The guys all tell each other and talk, and they can't wait to come out here. You know, all of them already signed on for next year. Phil Heath told me he wants to come next year. Rolly's already signed up for next year. You know, Kai might come out and do it again because he just loves the place, and we love him. And, you know, look, it really is something unique, Dave. It's, I'd love you to come out sometime. You should come out and cover it for next year.
Maybe we will do it next year because like I said, I've been itching to come out there, and I think there's a lot of fans out there that are on the RX Muscle boards. I know that. I have a couple people that covered the show for us out there, and I think that it's about time that the RX Muscle crew gets a taste of what you got going on down under there. And you know what? I love the fact that you got these 24/7 gyms. I mean, that's just, you're like the bodybuilder's bodybuilder.
What time zone you're on, we can work it out for you. But check it out. I've got to say this before you wind me up.
Okay.
The RX Muscle support this year was absolutely awesome. You know, last year you were in your infancy, but this year a lot of your board members bought tickets. I know Lee and Alex promoted the hell out of it on the boards.
Yeah,
you know, they kept bumping those threads up, and I was checking back and posting whenever I could. And those guys were just awesome. I can't thank them enough. But your whole crew, we had probably maybe a dozen people I met from the RX board that came and supported the show, and for them, a lot of them was the first time they'd met in person. And this is what's happened with this show in Australian bodybuilding. It's become this real get together of all the Australian fans.
I love that.
Yeah, me too.
Thanks, Tony. I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule. I know it's early in the morning there, and we will be in touch and keep us updated on what's going on for next year. And if you got any new gyms coming out, feel free to post on the board, and we'll be touching base.
All the best to you too, mate. Again, thanks to the listeners for their support and all the people on your board. And hi to John for me. Take it easy and catch up soon.
Thanks. Tony Daugherty, promoter of the Australian Grand Prix and owner of Daugherty's 24/7.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RXMuscle.com. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent, legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today. When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
The world crumbles around you. Will you be ready to fight back? Brutal Alchemy Performance Nutrition's unique line of supplements will help you win the war in the gym. Ancient Strength is a unique blend of three creatine esters which will infuse you with the ancient strength needed for the battle at hand. Isolation is a pure whey protein isolate that provides 26 grams of protein in every 29 gram scoop. Attack NO2 is Brutal Alchemy's nitric oxide booster that will increase your pumps and performance. After your battle in the gym, it's time for Onslaught. Brutal Alchemy's comprehensive post-workout drink, providing everything you need to suffuse your muscles, joints, and body with the components to heal, grow stronger, and return to the fray. And when it's time to conquer in the bedroom, you'll need forged steel. Brutal Alchemy's male enhancement product. Lead the charge to BrutalAlchemy.com to obtain the essential elements of your brutal transformation. Brutal Alchemy. It's better to be a member of the Horde than to be destroyed by it. RxMuscle.com introduces the cheapest and fastest growing discount supplement store on the net. DiscountSupplements.com. DiscountSupplements.com not only has the best prices on all of the industry's most popular products, but they also offer next day delivery for just $7.99. You heard right. For a flat fee of just $7.99, most orders arrive the next day at a price that simply cannot be beat. As a matter of fact, their prices and service are so good, we made them the official store for RxMuscle.com. If you haven't visited DiscountSupplements.com, what are you waiting for? Visit DiscountSupplements.com today.
Build serious muscle now. G-A-T. Get huge and stay lean. G-A-T. Achieve total muscle domination. Pump up and shred down with four great GAT products.
Pre-workout Jet Fuse and OX.
For insane strength and psychotic workouts, use Jet Fuse before attacking the weights.
Post-workout Jet Mass.
After training, use Jet Mass's muscle volumizing German creatine with HGH boosters and branched chain aminos to repair and recover.
Protein Muscle Teen.
Muscle Teen has 45 grams of extended release protein to rebuild muscle tissue during and after training.
Shred and burn under Jet Fuel Pyro.
Use Jet Fuel Pyro, the number one feel-good fat burner, to help you feel great as you burn fat faster and easier. Find these GAT products at retailers worldwide or go to our website at teamgat.com. That's TEAMGAT.com.
Plasmatic is the next generation of nitric oxide amplifiers. Plasmatic contains the clinically proven glycocarn and other exclusive cofactors to give you a better pump, extreme vascularity, and aid in both performance and recovery. Plasmatic is the only next generation nitric oxide amplifier that contains no L-arginine. Plasmatic's proprietary blend is manufactured using a state-of-the-art liquid capsule technology and lipomatic delivery. See Plasmatic today at your local vitamin shop or call us now at 866-GET-EST-1 or visit us on the web at estnutrition.com. Plasmatic, results guaranteed.
Flashpoint, the world's first sublingual fat burner. Flashpoint will change the way you look at fat burners forever. That's because traditional pills, capsules, and even liquid caps are broken down in your stomach, taking over 23 minutes to start working. But now, Isatori Technologies has engineered a fat burner that completely bypasses the stomach. Flashpoint melt tabs are absorbed right through the sublingual and buccal glands in your mouth. With Flashpoint, you'll start feeling its effects within 33 seconds. 33 seconds. Now that's fast and as hardcore as it gets. Visit isatoritech.com or GNC to start feeling fat burning in 33 seconds with Flashpoint.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes. Susie Curry. Adela Garcia. Jenny Lynn. Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X. Jen Gates as Shade. Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus. Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress. And their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind limited edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron
Sirens. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up to the minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen
listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RXMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
This is pro strawman Derek Poundstone. You're listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with Dave Palumbo and John Romano.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by Progenix. Visit ProgenixSRG.com.
Welcome back to Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm Dave Palumbo here with Big Sean Andrus holding down the fort. We're the only two people here in the studio. Everyone else deserted us. The phone lines are dead. It's just you and me, Sean. I don't know if you got a chance to recover yet from the Arnold. I know you had a long weekend. You were up not only helping us out with doing video and play-by-plays and photos, but you're also still obviously preparing for your show, dieting, cardio, in the gym training. Did you get a chance to watch any of the videos we put up from the Arnold Expo?
Yeah, caught a few this week in between naps.
Did you catch the Jimmy the Bull interviews the United Nations pretty much at the Arnold Expo there?
Yeah, Jimmy's cultural experience at the Arnold.
Yeah, I actually liked it. I actually laughed because I know Jimmy. He was a little nervous at first, and then he kind of warmed up. I thought the best interview he did was with Lauren Powers, where he was actually making passes at her, and I think she tackled him and attacked him at the end. But, I tried to give him all the racial stereotypes that he likes to stereotype, the Asians and Afro-Americans, and we even gave him a Sikh from India, and he was a little nervous, I gotta tell you, a little nervous interviewing these people.
But yeah, Jimmy the Angry Bull is he's like you say, deep down inside, he's just a nice guy.
He's a very emotional guy.
He's very emotional, and whenever we put him in these situations, he's not really the Angry Bull. But that's also why he's great at the booth.
That's true.
He loves everybody.
That's true. Yeah, he was very personable. He takes time to talk to everyone. And I think he personally had a very big emotional uplift by the fact that the fans still remember him and that they were giving him a lot of positive feedback on what he's been doing.
Yeah, you smile on the whole weekend. I think you had a great time.
There was another video I did also where John actually videoed me doing some shoulder rehab equipment they had at one of the booths where it was like a EMS, electromuscle stimulation. They put these two pads, electrodes, on right between your shoulder blades, and then they give you this little... they give you the controls, and you can actually control how hard you want them. You want this stimulation to occur. So, of course, John is videoing me doing this, and I'm explaining what's going on, and I keep increasing the intensity level up to level 10, to which point my body starts involuntarily contracting all over the place. Now, personally, I didn't think it was that funny a video, but evidently Aaron Singerman saw it, and he said it was one of the funniest videos he'd ever watched. So, I kind of gave it a little bit more. A notoriety on the thread, and I gave it its own thread. People seem to really get a kick out of it. I don't know why, but I think they like I think they enjoy when they see people that they know in pain and in discomfort, and that they can laugh about it at least.
I think part of the problem was I think I was spending a little time working at the Species booth, and John Romano's cameraman skills were intolerable, I think we'll say.
I was going to bring that up. He's not aware that you can turn. I guess it's his dyslexia. He doesn't know you can't turn the camera.
It wasn't just that. You brought that to my attention that he thinks you can actually turn the camera sideways and it will readjust. But, there's moments in a couple interviews where he just drops the camera.
Yeah, he starts getting distracted, I know. He's got the... Now you know where Max's ADD comes from.
Nauseated.
It's definitely John's... definitely from John. Yeah, if the interview's over 5 minutes, he has trouble with the camera a little bit. But, we got some good interviews. We did some interviews with the All Max Nutrition booth and iSatorial. A couple of our sponsors got some good plugs in there. And, of course, we got the regular celebrities, Ronnie Coleman and Big Mel Chansey. And all those interviews are up on rxmuscle.com. John also did some pretty interesting profiles on Raleigh Winkler. I thought one of his best articles he wrote was the Chilling with the Snooki Monster. About Snooki from Jersey Shore, who was hanging at our booth and went out to dinner with the Smalley brothers and us on that last night.
Yeah, I just got an email from my sister-in-law who was very disappointed that I didn't partake in the
You missed the dinner
festivities.
Yeah.
But I don't think people realize the state I was in by Sunday night. A dinner with the Smalleys was not
it was almost intolerable. Actually, conversation. But the funny thing is that when you see regular people, like, you know, like your aunt or whatever, or, you know, your mother or whoever happens to watch the site, they get more enthralled with the fact that we had Snooki hanging out with us than Ronnie Coleman, because, like, they can relate to her, which goes back to the old, the original story we talked about it with these reality shows like Kim Kardashian. I mean, the fact that Kim Kardashian and Snooki are fucking more popular than Ronnie Coleman, Dennis Wolf, and Dexter Jackson just goes to show you, you know, what the public really gives a shit about.
And then we get somebody who starts a thread saying, you know, what's with RX Muscle and the Jersey Shore? I said, I don't know if they've been around for the past year and a half, but we don't exactly stay on topic.
No. Also, you know, we kind of go with the flow. You know, we as Robbie Smalley would say, you know, I bring all the celebrities. You know, we kind of roll with the punches. You know, we got Carrot Top at the Olympia. We got Snooki at the Arnold, you know.
They're also, you know, all those, they're into bodybuilding. They're into working out. Sure. There is a relation there. But not that that ever mattered to us in the past anyway. Yeah.
Plus, Derek Anthony could have very well have been the guy who punched Snooki in the face. You know, he could easily be on Jersey Shore. I think it's they've miscast the show by not including him on that show.
You know, he would have taken over the whole show. I think that's why.
Yeah, I know.
He would have become the Derek Anthony show.
I don't think he would have punched any girls in the face, but he definitely would have done something that would have been at least celebrity worthy. You know, Derek could become a very popular guy and probably make a lot of money if we can get him on that show. That, I mean, if that doesn't smell Derek Anthony, Jersey Shore, I mean, I don't know what does. From what I hear, actually, they're doing another version of Jersey Shore. They're taking the same cast and they're bringing them to Miami or something like that in a month. At least that's what Snooki told me.
Well, maybe if it's anything like the Real World, they'll bounce around the whole country. Yeah. They'll end up in Long Island.
I'm waiting for them to do Spring Break, you know, wherever that might be. Maybe that's what they're doing in Miami, for all I know. Because it's coming up right in a month. Isn't spring break coming up soon?
I think it's, yeah, usually March.
So. Yeah. So maybe that's what they're doing. Because spring break is always crazy, you know. To bring that crew down to spring break, you know there's going to be some fights breaking out, without a doubt. Well, there's one more announcement I want to make. We're going to probably do a breaking news story on it this coming week, but the next Bros vs. Pros Challenge, number 3, is going to be launching. It's going to be the squat off. You know, a lot of people have wanted to see these guys squat, and Brutal Alchemy has stepped up to the plate again with even more money than last time. You know, last bench press challenge, we gave $2,000 to Ben White for his win. This time around, they wanted to go $3,000. I said, you know what? Let's give the men $2,000. Let's bring the women into the equation, and let's give them $1,000. And everyone liked the idea, you know, because the women felt left out. So this challenge, we're going to have the Bros vs. Pros men's division, which is going to feature IFBB Pro Jose Raymond squatting off against Daniel Connor from he's a powerlifter from down in Florida, and as well as it'll be open to the rest of the RX Muscle audience, whoever happens to show up that day. And in the women's division, it's going to be IFBB Pro Nicole Ball, okay, squatting off against Bonnie Pappas, who's a top NPC competitor from Boston. And the men are going to be squatting 405 for reps, and the women are going to be squatting 185 for reps. So what do you think of that? Those matchups?
I mean, I'm guessing this dude from Florida is probably a ringer. This is probably the...
He said he can do a lot of reps with it. Yeah, he's been begging me, this kid.
This guy's a little too focused on this, so he's probably going to knock it out of the park.
I don't know. Jose's got some big legs, and you know the kid trains, and you know $2,000 is not a chump change. It's probably more than Jose's made on a pro stage right now, or since he started.
And they give the 202 Olympia.
Yeah, pretty much about the same amount. Yeah. So you know, Jose's got some. Actually, we got two Boston guys, because two Boston people. Jose's from Boston, and Bonnie's from Boston. Nicole Ball's obviously from Canada. So
between your Long Island accent and their Boston accent, it's going to
be pretty fun. Yeah.
Very annoying.
Yeah, to say the least. So we're giving away $3,000 in cash prizes. So, I mean, that's a lot of freaking money, you know. I don't know anyone else is giving away that much money. And we're going to be holding it at World Gym Ronkonkoma. They're sponsoring the event, as well as Brutal Alchemy. So it's going to be a little different than the last one, you know. I think it's catching on. People are seeing that this is a very popular event. And the sponsors are coming to us, and that's the intention we wanted.
At least now we won't have everybody bitching about the 49-pound plates at
that's true.
Powerhouse.
That's true. And you know what? A lot of people are worried about the fact that people are not going to go down far enough into these squats. But we're going to pull a string across. You know, we're going to have a string behind them that they're going to have to come in touch with their butt, so that every person has to break, you know, come to parallel at least. And there's not going to be any cheating, okay, in this event. It's going to be very strict. And, you know, I think it's great because, you know, we have a lot of board members who claim they're going to come down too and compete, because there's a lot of women bodybuilders who live around the tri-state area. They're going to probably drive here and they might want to compete against these people because, you know what? There's a lot of gym, what I call gym freaks. You know, these are people that don't necessarily compete or don't do that well when they compete, but they can lift a shitload of weight in the gym. You know those people I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I think this is, you know, we're definitely gaining momentum with this. Nobody's doing anything like this. The second one was really popular, and this one's going to get even better.
Yeah, I think that, truth be told, this might be the best one yet. You know, a lot of people don't like to squat, but East Coast people squat. If we did this on the West Coast, we wouldn't even have any people in the contest. There'd be people watching it, but there'd be no one doing it.
You're going to catch hell for that.
Yeah, but you know, it's the truth. I know they don't like to squat, but the East Coast people are hardcore. I guarantee a couple people come down with Jose from Boston probably and enter the thing. So, like, Ben White brought a few people down from Albany with him, and it turned out the guy he brought with him almost won the competition. So, you don't know. You know, Bonnie might bring Hani Von Aken with her. You know, that's her trainer. So, you know, she might compete. I don't know. We don't know who's going to show up. And that's the I think, the mystery. Or you always have that dark horse element of this competition that anyone at any time, you know, any regular gym person could win this money against an IFBB pro. Who else gives that opportunity?
Let's be honest. Is there anything you're more interested in than watching Nicole do a few reps of squat?
Yeah, it doesn't work. Yeah, plus we got a hot chick too. We we wanted to get someone that people want to watch squat, you know. And Jose's a very popular guy too, so he's got a lot of, you know, Bostonian honor to uphold. You know, the New England states there are going to be, he's going to be representing. And you know, for a 202 guy to get a chance, you know, I'd love to see Kevin do that. Can Kevin squat? Kevin English?
He can. He's got his knees. He's strong, but his knees are getting bad.
So, oh, really?
Squatting is a variable week, week for him.
Yeah, and that's why I didn't ask him, because he would have been a good guy to get in there, too. I would have liked to get a couple of the 202 guys in there.
He's also exclusive.
Yeah, he's exclusive. That's true. But anyway, Jose will be down there. Nicole Ball will be down there. Actually, Nicole Ball is actually coming not only for the Bros vs. Pro Challenge. She's actually staying to watch your bodybuilding competition.
Yeah, it's a little intimidating. You know, I know Ben said he's going to come down.
Oh, really? Yeah, you got a bunch of people shooting.
IFBB pros coming to watch my skinny ass get up there.
I'm sure Steve Weinberg will be happy that the New York Metropolitans will be attended by a lot of IFBB pros.
Yeah.
You know, that's the first show of the year. Sometimes it's not the busiest show, and to get a lot of celebrities down there.
RX Muscle is definitely going to do their part to pack the house with celebrities.
Well, you have a million friends in the gym that'll probably come see you too, so I'm sure you'll probably sell at least 50, 60 tickets for Steve, I'm sure.
A million friends. The angry, quiet guy.
Yeah, the angry, right, the guy who, you know how many people come up to me and ask me what's wrong with you, why you don't talk?
As long as they're asking you and not me, yeah, it's working out.
Yeah, they're like, is there something wrong with that kid? I said, nah, he just doesn't like to talk. He's dieting. Leave him alone. They're like, oh, I thought he didn't like me. And I said, no. Sean likes everyone. I said, oh, that's not true, but you don't dislike a lot of people, so.
I'm a man of peace.
Yes. All right, let's move on to our last little episode here, or last little news item, I should say. You know, we've been going out a lot. That's been the talk of the town. You know, everyone's wants to come to the parties with us. And I know Aaron's. Oh, and speaking of, another celebrity is coming down for the Bros vs. Pro Challenge is Aaron Singerman. And he's going to be doing a live radio broadcast from the gym. So for you guys who want to know what's going on up to the minute, you'll be able to listen on Off Topics radio station there at the to get live updates on the Bros vs. Pro Challenge from Aaron Singerman via Skype, I'm sure. You know,
I got to give Aaron some credit here. Every time I see the guy at a show, he's hustling.
He does hustle.
Everybody.
He hustles.
The kid works.
Maybe we should get Jeff and him to do the commentary on the Jeff, the producer, and Aaron on Skype. I know Jeff will refuse to use Skype, but maybe he'll use his telephone to call in his cell phone. It is a tool, and you know it is necessary. And the two of them could do the play-by-play.
Never happen.
Probably not.
Great idea.
Right, it is a good idea, but it probably won't happen. You're right. Anyway, so because we've been going out and we did a big after party at the Arnold, we showed up in the Stretch Hummer, and you know, we did the BOMA Club, and Jason DeHeer got us in the VIP, and we all had a lot of fun and laughs. What I thought actually was funny was 15 people came in the limo, 30 people came back in the limo.
I didn't even come in the limo.
Oh, that's right, you didn't, you're right.
Both after parties.
Yeah. Oh, you did?
Yeah, at the party with the pros.
Oh, I didn't know that. You hid that from me. You never told me that. How was that thing?
Pretty stiff.
It's pretty boring, right?
Yeah, it's very, very boring.
Is that the one in Veterans, like right underneath?
No, it was...
Where do they have that?
Oh, I can't remember the name of it.
It's in a club?
Yeah, it's in a club.
Oh, I didn't. They upgraded it.
People were eating there. That's why people went.
Yeah, they had the free buffet. They used to do it under the veterans.
This thing, it's ridiculous. People are walking through getting their food. Obviously, I'm on the Palumbo starvation plan. I'm watching.
Right.
And as you walk through, these vendors with their free food have to hand you a pamphlet.
Oh, boy.
Now, don't they realize that everybody is from out of town and you're probably not going to have...
Oh, it's like local restaurants catering?
Oh, I see.
Gotcha. Well, you never know, I guess, if you want to cater some food to your room the next night. I don't know. But yeah, you know what? The party is nice if you're a fan and you've never been to the Arnold Classic, because they do, I think they make all the athletes show up for a few minutes, don't they?
Yeah, there were a lot there. And, you know, a lot of those people aren't into the, they don't get down like we do at RX Muscle. Right. So it's a good scene.
Arnold shows up there too, usually. Was he there?
We did not get to chat. I heard
he didn't want a special little meeting with you.
No. So
he's usually in the VIP section somewhere, and he comes and he chats. He sits with Lorimer and his wife, and they tell jokes, and it's a big celebrity get together, but it's not really a big party. There's no heavy duty like people there.
It's not a party.
You're not gonna find Chris Cormier there. Put it that way.
the party scene is definitely where you follow RX Muscle.
Yeah, we know where the hardcore partying is done. Well, anyway, I found it pretty interesting that they posted the 10 best party songs of all time. And I thought that was kind of, in line with what we've been doing, because we've been going to a couple parties here and there. And I know that you're the musical expert in the group. Everyone says I don't listen to music, but I do a little bit. But you're really more musically inclined than I am as far as knowing names and groups and stuff like that. So I thought that you'd be the perfect person to review these for me and to tell me what you thought of them. So let's start with number 10, okay? And I don't know if you can guess any of these, but I'll just give it to you, and then you give me your assessment of if you think it's worthy.
My specialty is 90s pop in all its ridiculousness. So we'll see what we got here.
Well, this is a big mixture. These are just like the best all-time party songs, okay? Number 10 came in as Lady Gaga, Just Dance. What do you think about that one?
This is all time? So,
all time. Yeah, someone
Gaga
made this list.
Sneaking in there.
She snuck
in there. That's questionable.
Could be the Lauren Powers, had something to do with this, because, she is in her new music video.
No, she's persuasive.
Now, as we're playing these, Jeff will be, as we're talking about these, Jeff will be playing the music in the background so people can actually hear what we're talking
about. Assuming he is adjusted to daylight savings by the show air.
Assuming that he's conscious enough to edit the show, exactly. Do you feel that this is worthy of being on the list?
Probably not. I think it's a little soon for Lady Gaga
really?
To make any kind of all-time list.
All right, that's fair enough. I'll buy that. Well, let's move to number 9, which is Justin Timberlake's Sexy Back. I've heard that. That's at every club they play.
Yeah, he had on a catchphrase with that, bringing sexy back.
Yeah.
That got shit played out of it.
He actually wrote the song. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yeah, he's multi-talented. You can't underestimate an NSYNC member.
He says that according to him, it had a big influence. James Brown had a big influence of him on him writing this song, and I believe it was produced by Timbaland, who, ironically enough, is on the list at number 8. The Way I Are. Do you remember that song?
I can't believe this is an all-time list.
This is an all-time list.
It's like a last year list.
I don't know. Well, I think when people do all-time lists, they get skewed by... I would have to say this is probably like a 90s or 2000 list, I don't think it goes too... But although there are some 70s tunes on
that
here.
That song's about 2 years old. So.
What, Timbaland?
Yeah.
The Way I Are?
Yeah. I definitely would leave that off.
You would have left that off. Interesting. Well, this was a number one Billboard Top 100 song, and it features a sample from Salt and Pepper, Push It, sung by Carrie Hilson.
Now that, right there, it's an all-time party song.
Yeah. But, all right, well, that's number 8. Number 7, Sir Mix-a-Lot's Baby Got Back.
I like big butts, and I cannot lie.
Now, we've heard that song a lot, especially a lot of fitness competitors use this song as well.
Dina Westerfield walked out to the intro.
Yes, she did. Very good.
But to my disappointment, she didn't use the song.
No. But I think so many girls have used this by shaking their butt on stage. And I think Mike Morris used it one year, too. And he shuck his glutes. It was kind of disturbing, I got to tell you.
No question that belongs on the list.
No, that's for bodybuilding, that's definitely on the list.
It makes a lot of great contributions. Mm-hmm. American culture.
And number 6 is one of my favorites, and I think that this, probably because this is the era I grew up in, I would definitely put this on the list, and that's the Bee Gees' Staying Alive, man. Anyone who's seen Saturday Night Fever has to say, Staying Alive is a cult favorite, classic, and deserves. I don't think you cannot play this in a club and people not get excited about it.
I can just see you hitting the streets in New York with your strut.
Strutting, yeah. I did that in a routine once, actually. But I did it in a funny way. I didn't try to do it in a serious way because I'm not really that coordinated to do it in a funny way.
It definitely belongs on there, but that just shows that there's those other two probably. that's an all-timer right there.
This is definitely the Bee Gees. You know, they got to make the list. They definitely got to make that. As well as number five, Journey's got to make the list. As far as the song we're talking about, it "Don't Stop Believing." What do you think about that one?
As a party song, I don't know. I mean, you could probably tell me a little more about a party where that was playing.
According to what I've read about this, about "Don't Stop Believing," it's supposed to be a song that references South Detroit. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Questionable party song.
Yeah, well, I thought you'd have a little more historical, you know, background on this. See, this is where we need Jeff, the producer. He usually knows the historical backdrops on all these songs and where they came from.
Well, again, Jeff's what, 6-8 years older than me, so it's another.
True. Yeah, you're a youngin'. You're from the rap era, as I like to call it. Number four, actually, my friend Dave Watson loves all these songs too. He'd know all about these. Number four, Def Leppard, "Pour Some Sugar on Me." That's definitely a song that belongs in there, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and that's one of those songs that they'll drop in a club when they hit that weird late night mix when they play like Police or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can't go wrong with Def Leppard.
Nah, this was a number two hit back in the day. Probably before your day, but it's definitely been on. It was also number two on the VH1 100 Greatest Songs of the 80s. So you can't go too wrong with that. Def Leppard is definitely a classic in
one-armed,
living.
One armed drummer. I mean, that's.
Yeah. That's
the standard for one armed drummers.
Speaking of drummers, Jeff's a drummer, and so is John Romata. Did you know that? The both of them are drum. And Frank Matassa. Well, three drummers in our group.
Yeah.
We have no lead singers and no guitar or bass players, but we have a lot of drummers. And I know you've seen Jeff drum a lot, you know, on the airplane.
Yeah, right before the Xanax kicks in, I know I've heard Jeff hit a couple notes on his knee.
Well, number three, Bon Jovi, "Living on a Prayer." Now, that brings me back to, like, the days when my sister was hanging out with all the long-haired guys and the metalheads, you know. I think that's okay. I'm okay with that song, I gotta tell you.
Yeah, I mean, greatest feathered bangs in history right there.
Yeah, exactly. I actually, when I hear the songs like that, I think of the 80s. That's totally, you know, brings me back to my high school
years.
Yeah,
that's one of those songs you can't, if it comes on the radio, you can't turn it off.
Mm-hmm. Well, number two, you knew Michael Jackson had to make the list. And if you're gonna pick Michael Jackson and put him on the list, you gotta pick "Thriller," because that's probably his best song of all time, I think. Are you in agreement with that it belongs on there? And don't forget, the Whack Pack did do a little "Thriller" video to the for Halloween.
You know, "Thriller" or it's tough with him. You know, there's so many. It's tough to say what would be the best one.
"Thriller." I would have just said Michael Jackson. I would just use him generically. You know, he can pretty much play whatever he sings. You know, especially now when once you die, you've instantly been immortalized as like one of the top 10 of all time. You know.
I'm not even going to go there.
Well, yeah, that's true. You know what the number one song, according to this list, is? The number one party song? I was shocked. I actually like it. I thought it was a good pick. Queen, "We Will Rock You."
Okay.
I like that, right?
You know, I guess that's the stadium anthem. You know, party song though. What party are they playing at?
I don't know. But they said these are the party songs. Actually, they like to combine "We Will Rock You" with "We Are the Champions." But
it was one song when it was original.
Was it? Yeah. They usually sing it back to back. Yeah.
"We Are the Champions" is the first part of the song.
Okay. Yeah. That you're right. I think you're right. And a lot of times, you know, they play this at the end of like sporting events when like people win the Super Bowl and shit like that.
Yeah. I don't know. As a party song though, I mean, this list is definitely, it's all over the map. It'd be one hell of a party where you hear it all. Telling you songs.
Yeah. Well, I actually played "We Are the Champions" after Bobby Smalley beat Mr. G in a football toss competition. I thought that was a very apt song to put in there, you know, to let everyone know that he was the champion. So I don't know if these are actually the best party songs, but these are songs that I actually like. I can actually relate to almost all of them. It's a nice group. And, you know, every once in a while, I like to give a top 10 list, especially when we have nothing to fucking talk about. We have no guests, and one of my co-hosts is gone, and the phone lines are down. So, you know, you got to resort to desperate measures, pretty much.
Come on, I can't get a flight.
You know, I wanted to bring one more thing up too before we pack it in. I don't think we've quite hit an hour yet, so we might as well stretch this a little longer.
Milk it for every second
milk,
we can.
Milk it. You know, I remember when they had the writer's strike with NBC and Letterman was working for them, and what he would do is he refused to not do a show. So him and Paul Schaefer would just talk the whole time. He'd be like, okay, that's 3 minutes down, Paul. We only have 57 minutes to go. That's what I feel like.
I think we're doing a hell of a job.
I think we're not doing too bad. It's kind of like the show about nothing. We talked about the Australian Grand Prix for 3 minutes, and then we talked about nothing for the other 57.
Which was probably 2.5 more minutes than anybody else could have gotten out of it.
True. I would have liked to have Tony Doherty call in and give us his, because he always has some background stories on what's going on, and I'm sure Kai Greene had a nervous breakdown, and I'm sure Dexter, you know, flipped out about the hotel room, and you know, these are stories that I like to hear normally, because you don't really get these backstories. You know, he'll tell you, know, and I always ask him how much money Kai Greene made, and he gets all embarrassed, and he, you know, and then I have to say, well, did he make more than 10 grand? Did he make more than 20 grand? You know, I have to like play like that, one of these like Jeopardy, you know, games with him.
God willing, we get phone and cable back before May.
Yeah. Hopefully. Well, you know what? We're lucky we have electricity, because there's a lot of people out there who have no electricity. I went to a Japanese restaurant last night and I had to sit and eat by candlelight. So that wasn't the most enjoyable way, although it was very romantic, you know, I must admit. Now,
just shows what a touch of class you have.
That's true.
I think it might have been by request. You're holding back.
It might have been, yeah. Now, the last story I want to talk about is these suicide bombing attacks. There was another one in Afghanistan that killed about 12 people. And actually, 30 people killed. Now, that's nothing new, because these suicide attacks are occurring all the time, you know, by the Taliban. And, you know, they've evidently convince these people that if they blow themselves up, that they're going to go to heaven and they're going to have a great afterlife. And, you know,
you get the virgins.
C'est la vie, whatever. I mean, if that's what they want to believe, fine. But you know what? I believe that there's a solution to getting rid of terrorism. And it's not to go to war on terrorism. You go to war on terrorism, you get more terrorism. This is what these people want. They want people to talk about them. They want people to report about these blow-ups and these bombs, and because that makes them valid. If anyone blows anyone up or they blow themselves up, we shouldn't even put it in the news. They should just squash it. I don't even know about it. Because if you don't report and make these people known that people are blowing themselves up, they won't continue to blow themselves up, because they're going to be like, we're not getting any notoriety for it. Because you're not taking down a whole country by blowing up 12 people. What they're doing it for is the news, you know, and the terror that they want to get people scared. If the government can cover up fucking alien abductions and alien landings, why can't they cover up fucking suicide bombers? Don't you think
alien landings?
I don't know. I wouldn't know if there were any, because they're covered up, right?
But are you under the assumption that there have
been? There might be. How would you know if they don't release them? You know, there's been people that say that there have been alien landings, and yet there's no evidence. The government says no. So, I don't doubt anything. You know, I'm
open to all. So let's just say Osama bin Laden is an avid Heavy Muscle Radio listener.
Right.
We've just done exactly what we shouldn't be doing, mm-hmm. then.
Well, no, yeah, we're advertising.
Has Sally banned his IP address? Is he a registered member of the forum?
I believe he's one of Jeff the producer's alter egos, but
Jeff would have had him banned months
ago. Yes, he would have caught him. He definitely would have picked him out. But think about it. If we don't report about these suicide bombings, they stop, because people are not going to blow people up if they're not getting publicity from it, or if they're not scaring other people from it. They're blowing people up in Afghanistan to scare the people in America to think, oh my God, they're going to come here and blow people up here. They should just not report it. I don't want to know about it. I don't want to know about the orange alert in the airport and the red alert. You know, when we go to the airport and they always have, the terror alert today is green, or it's orange, or it's purple. Does it change anything that you do in the airport one bit?
Or the repetitive announcement, do not pick up another person's belongings.
Right.
You know, where I come from, that's called stealing. That's why you're not supposed to do it.
Right, but I mean, when you hear the warning is orange today, you go, oh shit, I'm going to be real careful. I'm going to look out for fucking people with
yeah, it's my homepage. Every
turbans on?
A terrorist warning.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing they do when the alert goes to orange or red is they usually check my camera bag in addition to my laptop bag, you know.
Take my almond butter. When it's, I'm still bitter about that, by
when
the way.
It's yellow, they don't look at the camera bag, I noticed. And when it goes to red, they make me take off my little, that stupid outer shirt I wear, and I have to go down to a tank top.
Which is hilarious, yeah. For those of you who can't get to see it firsthand.
As if I'm hiding something under one of those shirts. I can't even lift my arms up in the air. My shoulders are so bad. So, yeah, I mean, the whole airport thing is a joke. And we could talk. I mean, John's got a million airport stories, and he was going to call in and tell us about it until we realized that we have no phone lines here. So John actually got stuck in the airport for 14 hours today, you know. And he actually has someone in Delta who works for, in his, who's I think his cousin works for Delta, and she couldn't even get him on an airplane home to New York. So evidently there was gridlock in the Florida airports from what I hear. No flights were leaving. They said they were delayed till Tuesday, but John seems to think he might get back on Monday. Nonetheless, he will miss this show.
We anxiously await his return.
Yeah, we anxiously await it. And, you know, of course, Max is missing another day of school, which, you know, he doesn't care about.
And, number 486.
He's only got a couple of days left that he can miss and still graduate this year, I think. So anyway, like I said, it was a show that there was not much to talk about, and we really didn't have any drama going on. It was a very quiet weekend, which I enjoyed. Next weekend I will be at the Dave Lieberman show in Ohio.
God bless you.
Natural Ohio. Yes, Dave is, we have a booth there, Species booth, and I'll be covering it for RX Muscle. Jay Emanuel will be taking pictures for us, and you know, the contest season is really underway now. The Arnold really kicked it off. Actually, Phoenix kicked it off, but once the Arnold comes, you know that things start getting busy. So we got next week, we got the Natural Ohio, then we got the week after that, the Bros vs. Pros Challenge at World Gym Ronkonkoma. The week after that, we got the New York Metropolitans. You'll be up on stage competing.
Yes, sir. And then the season starts rolling. Hang up the trunks, and we are on the road.
Yeah, we got
Europa in 2 weeks, and we go from there.
Yeah, the Europa, your Orlando show, which we didn't go to last year. We're going to be out there this year at that. And then the Pittsburgh is May 1st, and the week after that, or 2 weeks after that, is the New York Pro, I think.
Yeah, the Pittsburgh on May 1st. We have Steve Weinberger's The Jay Cutler.
Oh, right.
And next, on the Sunday after that, we think we'll have Romano out there covering that show. And it's going to be a hell of a summer.
Yeah. And then July and August and September
is
nuts.
They really jammed them in this year.
And actually, October is nuts too, because then you have the Nationals in October.
Yeah,
so
they will bumping everything up, moving the Junior USAs back. We got quite a travel schedule.
Back to back. No sleep for the RX Muscle crew. That's why we better enjoy our little bit of downtime we have now. We're out of time, though. Actually, we're not out of time, but I'm making us out of time because I got nothing else to talk about, Sean. And I want to thank you for taking time out of your cranky dieting schedule to come up here and chat with me for a few minutes.
Not that bad.
No, you're pretty good, actually. You've been hanging in there. A lot of people are concerned. I've been getting a lot of phone calls saying, is Sean all right? Is he going to commit suicide? I said, no, make it. It's fine. It's fine.
Apparently, it's because I look like an AIDS patient.
Yeah, and or an old man, too. So,
thank you.
Anyway, until next week, remember, with Heavy Muscle Radio,
I guess the truth hurts.
The truth damn does hurt. See you next week, guys.
Muscle Radio is a presentation of RXMuscle.com, the truth in bodybuilding. Tune in next week at the same time for another round with Dave Palumbo and John Romano, only on Heavy Muscle Radio.